sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross, Wes Reynolds with you. Got a lot of games hotly contested right now, but it's really a pleasure. When you get USC, I would say a legend on the show. And when you have Sean Salisbury on, you go right to Sean. Follow him on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered, the host of the Sean Salisbury Show. Sean, it's great to have you on. Let's talk about your alma mater, USC. Look, we understand that it is still a destination job. This is a place that everybody, a top-level coach, wants to go to. To that end, Sean, do you think it has to be a big-name coach that's already out there, or could they possibly look within, because they've done that in the past? How do you think this job search plays out now that Clay Helton is gone?
That's a great point, and thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate you guys. And I'm not even a household name or a legend in my own home, so I doubt I'm going to but I'll take any way I can get it. Listen, I, you know, former players that I talk, and I've got a lot of pride about our program, right? I think most alumni do about their school, and, you know, we always, and former players, buddies of mine I talk to, and alumni, and Board of Regents, we are too caught up and, quite frankly, way too arrogant to be operating like we did in 1978, 85, even 2004, 2005 with Reggie and Matt Leinart and Pete Carroll. Because a 17-year-old kid you're recruiting doesn't know. Mm. Honest to God, I coach these camps all over the country, and I fortunately train quarterbacks all over the country. Guys, I've trained quarterbacks. You'll ask them who Johnny Unitas is. They have no idea.
Oh, boy.
And I know that. And they don't. They just don't. And it's not a knock on them. It's just the way we are now that nobody remembers. Student body right to them. You guys know student body right. And I'm sorry it's noisy. I'm visiting my son in Austin watching games. I apologize for the noise. But student body right, they know less about that, Marcus Allen running toss sweep, than they do about the uniforms at Oregon. So it's a great program, a lot of pride. But leave the history and all that to us former players that have pride. You got to come in and we're going to wear no names on the back of jerseys and black cleats. And that's how we do it at SC. And that's nice once you're in the program. But the game has changed. Nick Saban changed it with him. Tom Coughlin in the NFL, when he was with the Giants, finally changed and they won. We're at a new time now where kids want to know if you're going to preach name, image, and likeness. And SC should be the number one name, image, and likeness school in America where they're located. They want to know if they can play on national TV every week. They want to know if they're going to be going to play football on Sundays in the NFL. And they want, that's what the interest. So, and you can't, 150 square miles, you can't let the quarterback that's old, at Ole Miss or from Rancho Cucamonga if you're C.J. Stroud, or if you're Bryce Young and you're at Modern, you can't let those guys leave the state. Not that we don't have good players, but the best ones at times are going somewhere else and then coming back and beating you. So I don't care. I don't care if it's, now listen, if it's a 65-year-old big-name guy, great, if he's the best for the program. But you can't waltz into the interview with our athletic director and our president. I would hope that they're feeling the same way and saying, we're going to preach tradition and they're going to know who John McKay was. Great. Let them know it after they sign and they're here. Tell them what you can do for them now and where they're going to be 3 years from now. And then we'll teach them tradition once they're in the building. Because right now, the attention span for them is 5 years. A 12-year-old has no idea, zero idea who Matt Leinart is unless his dad's in legacy, or if that's all they do is watch SC football.
You know,
so
sure.
That's a lot. We look at Miami and Texas and all of it. So give me a guy with energy that matches the player. I could care less if it's a sexy name. I need a guy to change the program.
You know, Sean is kind of speaking my language as an Indiana basketball fan growing up, where right. It's like, you know, when you're a blue blood like USC football is, like Indiana basketball was, and then you become like just another program to a lot of these young kids.
Jeez.
What have you done for me lately? And, you know, Sean, when we're looking at maybe who the head coach is going to be at Troy going into the future, look, when they got Pete Carroll, a lot of people were lukewarm on Pete Carroll because
right.
He was kind of like okay in the NFL, not great, but not bad. But he had an energy about him. And I think that right. You do kind of need somebody, regardless of age, you need somebody with an energy that's going to get these guys fired up and be like, hey, you know, USC, our goal is to go to the Rose Bowl every darn year. Whatever we finish in the playoff is great. But, you know, that really, I think, kind of gets the culture of the program that can make changes kind of in this new era. But somebody that's got some energy, and that's why you see like the Matt Campbells and the James Franklins who seem to get mentioned for every job mentioned here at USC.
Absolutely. No question about it. And you're the second guy who's a proud Indiana basketball alum that said the same thing. And you are. You're exactly right. Bobby Knight doesn't coach there. The Scott May and Kent Benson don't play there. They're not 35-0. And just like at USC, and you are also 100%. Listen, a big name's fine and dandy if the big name's got energy. When Pete Carroll came in there, and you, I talked to a bunch. I can remember that where I was standing when I got interviewed by a national. I can't even remember where I was standing. I was in a coat tie getting ready to do my own show at ESPN on NFL Live, and they called about Pete Carroll. What do you think about him? I said, well, Pete's got a lot of energy. Love him. Love Monty Kiffin because I'd known Monty, and they were best buds, right? And I said, I don't know if I'm sold. NFL guy had some success. And then Pete went in there. And you know what? Cheesy is kind of okay. And I don't mean cheesy in a negative. I mean it affection with your energy. You take the kids bowling. You go into the inner city. You can recruit there. You can go out into the valley and recruit there. You roll into Texas and steal one of theirs. But the kid that's at Crenshaw or at Verbum Day in basketball when you're recruiting those guys. And then in football with Pete Carroll, you're going to Modern Day. Heading over to Crespi High School. You're heading out to the valley, Granada Hills. That's the guy you got to get. And Pete Carroll had energy. And Pete Carroll has more energy now at, 70 or whatever
yes.
than a lot of 25-year-olds do. So that doesn't matter to me. Can you recruit the kid? Can you recruit the parent? And can you make it to the point where we get in and we're selling what we're going to do now and in the future, Rose Bowls, Final Fours, at least being an opportunity. The Sun Bowl at 8-3, no disrespect. Sorry, that's not SC. And that's part of the arrogance we have. But you know what? That's where we're living. That's we're not Ohio State right now overall. We're not Oklahoma. We're not Alabama. We're not Clemson or Southern Cal. That's still got name, and of course we have that. But we as alumni, even us, the pride we have, get me a guy who can sell sand to one of my buddies that he's recruiting from Hawaii, and let's go, right? They know what the beach is like. Give me one of those guys with energy, and then hire a great staff. Be a great recruiter, hire a great staff of awesome coaches with energy, whether they're 60 or whether they're 28, and let's get this thing back to the way it's supposed to be, because if we don't, this is where we're going to live. And I know, and if you're an alumni and you got that pride of old school stuff, guess what? We're not going to be like we were in 78. We're not winning national championships if this continues. We got good players, but you got to keep great players also from going to the programs that are the program now that you want to be, and that can't continue to happen. Give me a guy with energy, and you're right. Campbell and James Franklin seem to be at the top of the list when it comes to that.
All right, we're talking with Sean Salisbury. He is the host of the Sean Salisbury Show. Let's talk about their game today, Sean, at Wazoo, taking on Washington State here in about 20 minutes to kick off here. So you got Dante Williams in there now as the interim guy. Graham Harrell, of course, was brought in to kind of jazz up that offense. You know, inside the program, and I know those big names we talked about, that's what everybody's going to say. Is this a real audition for these two specifically, or does it have to come from outside of the family?
I don't think it has to come, guys, but we know the history, right, of interims getting the job.
Yes.
It doesn't happen often. So if we're talking odds, now listen, alumni are going to want to, they're thinking sexy big name. I know, I'm sure a lot of fans are, but because, you know, get to the point, well, why, who's Joe Brady? Well, Joe Brady's got to turn Joe Burrow around and is turning Sam Darnold around, and maybe he's the guy. Well, what about Hugh Freeze? You know, you're going to hear names that, maybe some people are like, no, I want if I don't get Urban Meyer, we're not going to win. That's
right.
Not true. And it's hard as an interim coach because it's almost like you're keeping it around, but I got a house. But and not that they're not good, but you're battling it up to about, even if they win them all, you're still, people will say that. And if you lose one to UCLA or one to Notre Dame and win the rest of them, everybody's going to say, can't win to our rivals. So they're in such a difficult situation. Dante's a hell of a coach. He's the type of guy with energy we're talking about. Coaches DBs. Players love him. He can recruit everybody. I'm pulling for him and Graham. Graham knows offense, and I'm anxious to see if Clay was holding it down or if they're going to get back to run the football a little bit more. I don't need student body right where we only throw it 15 times. That's not college football anymore. But we got to do a little bit of both because Washington State, if they get, they'll throw it 60 times today to win if they have to. They don't care. Nick Rollins, they don't care. And if you get down early, if you're at USC and you're down 14-0, I'm anxious to see which Trojan team shows up. Are you going to say, mail it in, we'll just wait for the new coach, I'm on scholarship? Are you going to say, you know what, have a little pride for Dante, who deserves it, Graham Harrell and that staff, and as a player? But this can be a dangerous game because what's Washington State got to lose but another game? And I don't mean that disrespectful, but they can cut it loose. So I'm anxious to see if we run and play physical, or if we let a Washington State team hang around, then it gets to the fourth quarter, and they make 4, 5, 6 throws in a row, and before you know it, we're chasing. Graham's auditioning. Dante's auditioning. But it is going to be a very difficult task because of the perception of an interim coach is, well, why didn't he have it anyway? It's not fair to those guys, but that's reality. I'm pulling for both of them. More importantly, I'm pulling for a win and to watch SC get better. I don't know if that means wins and losses, but you got to see something different. And the biggest problem with our program, guys, that's happened, I mean, with all the upside from the stuff we've named, I mean, here I'm talking about like we're a 2-9 team. We're better than that, but the expectations is we physically get pushed around too much at the line of scrimmage. And fortunately, when I was playing with Bruce Matthews or Anthony Munoz, there was a lot of pride, and we may get beat, but you were going to be bloodied by the time you walked out of the building. Finesse teams don't win national titles. I know the perception is, well, Alabama throws it, Clemson, but when they get right down to it, they can run it 10 times in a row and wear you out. And that used to be what we can do. We'll see if we can keep the ball out of Washington State's hands and get a little more balance today.
All right, well, the Clay Helton era is officially over for USC. Sean Salisbury, it is a pleasure having you on the program. I follow you at Sean Unfiltered on Twitter. They should as well for that kind of passion. Sean, try to enjoy the game today. I know it's week number one here in the new regime. Let's see how the Fight On boys do today.
I never bet a USC Trojan game because my head will explode. So, yes, I'm going to enjoy it with my kids and have fun. You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on. I can't thank you enough. I'm always honored to join you.
We'll have you back on again, Sean. Excellent. Cannot wait again. Kickoff about 20 minutes away between SC and Washington State. And this is why we love talking to guys like Mike Pritchard and Sean Salisbury. The passion, it just comes through your microphone.
And passion with two programs now just gone final. Closer than expected. Oklahoma wins 23-16. Woo. Nebraska had about a minute drill to go, 84 yards. Could not really get anything going. So the Sooners survive 23-16. Huskers get the cover.
Survive is the right way to describe it for Oklahoma. Much more to get to. Don't go anywhere. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money, and ticket percentages on every single game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Wes Reynolds with you here at Circus Sportsbook, and it is always great to catch up with Ben Falks over at Mandalay Bay all afternoon for us. And Ben, I know right now, boy, you got some bettors over there kind of hanging in the balance with a couple of games. Sparty right now up 10 on Miami. I know you saw some big action come in. Tell the people what they got going on.
Yeah, guys, always good to be with you. This is a big one for the book. This was Michigan State and Miami, the most bet game at BetMGM books, and Michigan State plus 6.5 was the most bet side. So a big one here, certainly in the balance. Michigan State, I believe, just scored a touchdown to go up 10 now in the fourth quarter. So bettors, again, you can never cash those tickets early, but certainly looking good at plus 6.5 there. A very big decision for the book, as I'm sure we'll get to with Mike a little bit later.
Yeah, this is a wrong side for me, guys. I did take Miami as kind of the contrarian favorite, if you will, because according to obviously what Ben is presenting at BetMGM, and I'm sure it's not exclusive to BetMGM, Michigan State was a pretty public underdog today, and Michigan State now minus 3.5 in play at BetMGM. 14 minutes left to go, so almost a full quarter left to play, but Miami minus 3 in the turnover margin here, and that's not going to get it done. I thought it was a buy low spot on the U here. Obviously not, because Michigan State, well on their way, perhaps, to be going 3-0 in Mel Tucker's second year.
And that is a big surprise here. And again, I wonder how many people, obviously, as you mentioned, taking the points here, 6.5. I'm sure people playing the money line as well on Sparty. Right now, it's looking good. But as you guys pointed out, it's still about 13 minutes to go here and a 10-point lead for Sparty. Ben, I know over there at Mandalay Bay, you saw some heavy action come in on Ohio State and Tulsa. What did you see there?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, kind of split across the market. So actually at BetMGM Books, they have more bets on Ohio State, around 60%. They actually only have 48% of the handle on Ohio State, so more handle on Tulsa. Other books was much closer to about 90% on Ohio State covering the spread. And 90% of the handle. So really kind of a difference in the market there. But we saw a big bet on the under in this game, $220,000. That was at Borgata in New Jersey, BetMGM property, on the under 61 in this game. So again, and we've seen the line movement as well go the way of Tulsa. I think this opened around Ohio State minus 27. I think we're sitting around 24 and a half, 25 now. So definitely an interesting game from a betting perspective. And I think the most of the public probably thinks Ohio State's going to roll and need some of those kind of bonus points after that loss.
This looks like a little pros versus Joes type of game, though, because Tulsa did open as a bigger underdog when the lines came out on Sunday afternoon during the NFL games, that late session. And I believe this opened as high as minus 29 or actually minus 31 on the Buckeyes.
Wow.
Got quickly bet. And, you know, there's kind of the one, what school of thought you look at here? Do you say, okay, Ohio State's mad and they're ticked off because they've already lost a game, so it's like we're going to take it out on an inferior opponent? Or are they wallowing in their pity a little bit? Because now that they've lost, now you get Tulsa coming in. This is a Tulsa team that I think a few years ago they absolutely boat raced in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And Tulsa's going to be like, you know, we got nothing to lose.
Right.
We're going to go in here and play loose and fancy free and see what we can get done here.
And again, as to Ben, to your point here, that number now, BetMGM, is down to 60 here because it does feel like the action is coming in on the under. Look, Tulsa can play some defense as well. So that's why I think you're seeing this bet down. Obviously, that huge bet that you saw out there in New Jersey probably helped influence that just a little bit as it trickled down to 60 here. Ben, we're going to be with you all afternoon. Of course, we know you're going to have Mike Peranio on a little bit later on this hour. What's the atmosphere like over there at Mandalay Bay? It's kind of fun on these college football Saturdays, and I'm sure those Michigan State backers right now, you're hearing them loud and proud.
Yeah, so we got that out. We actually, West would be proud. It got Cincinnati and Indiana up on the big screen.
Ooh.
So a lot of people following that one. Couple, you know, more sad Nebraska fans after that game. Although they did cover, but I think they were really rooting for Nebraska to win. I've been surprised at a ton of Iowa State. I would say, you know, 30-40% of the sports book is Iowa State fans playing at UNLV at Allegiant Stadium later tonight. So coming in, getting a couple bets in, probably a couple drinks in, and they'll be ready to go for that kickoff later.
Sounds like,
that's a good
fun day to me, yeah.
That's a good sign for that program, too, because obviously losing now six in a row to your rival, Iowa, sort of like, okay, a trip to Vegas will cure our ills. This is the time to go have a trip to Vegas after another painful loss to
the Hawkeyes.
And you just
wonder if Matt Campbell's going to be making a trip out to USC after we just talked to Sean Salisbury, so they need to get back in the good foot and start winning
again. Right, if they squeak in an interview, obviously. Matt Campbell's a candidate for, like, every single job on the planet.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they want to keep him in Ames.
Ben Fox, our VP of digital content here at VEASAN. Appreciate the time, my friend. Don't go anywhere. We'll catch up with you a little bit later on in this hour when you have Mike Peranio on. Thanks, Ben. Enjoy the rest of the college football action. All right, we are going to give you a couple updates right now. As Ben pointed out over there again, Sparty holding on to that 10-point lead now, about 10 minutes to go here in regulation. But again, he saw a lot of action coming in on the under, so they're kind of hanging on right now, 38 right now the total points. We'll see if that ticks upward as Miami tries to get back in this thing. And you mentioned Oklahoma, only a 7-point winner over Nebraska. We're going to talk a little bit later on to Damon Benning, who won two national championships with the Cornhuskers back in the day, and figure out how they can try to get back in the good foot. But at least Scott Frost and company played hard today to cover that spread rather easily.
Yeah, absolutely. So a good effort, I would say, for Nebraska. Yeah. And Oklahoma, doesn't matter by how much, it matters how many,
at least.
In terms of college football playoff, at least early on in the season, Oklahoma does get a win. A couple other final scores I do want to get updated on. Connecticut has a cover. They don't have a win, but
they do
have a cover.
How did that happen?
They did backdoor against the Army Black Knights. So laying 34.5 with the triple option team is obviously very difficult and too difficult for Army. Connecticut does get within the number, 52-21. BC, no Phil Yurkovec, but no problem against a rebuilding Temple team, 28-3, your final score. Texas A&M hangs on for me, laying that big number.
I knew they would.
They close 30.5. They win 34-0 over New Mexico. And then, of course, Oklahoma, Nebraska, we mentioned. Coastal Carolina, no cover, but a win at Buffalo as 14-point road favorites, 28-25. And then we did have an FCS versus FBS scare today.
Ooh.
Chattanooga only loses by 5 to Kentucky, 28-23. Kentucky was a 33-point favorite here at BetMGM. So, still some early games, and when we get to Damon Benning, we're going to have a lot to talk about, not only Penn State-Auburn, but obviously the Big Ten teams in progress. One up, Michigan State. One down in Indiana. 30-24, by the way. Cincinnati with the lead. About 11 minutes left to go. Cincinnati right now minus 5.5 on the end game, 62.5 on the total. So Bearcats and Hoosiers have been going back and forth basically for the last hour.
You know, one game that we haven't talked a lot about so far is Purdue still leading at Notre Dame. We talked about it a lot before the kickoff here, and we thought, well, this has got to be a spot here for Brian Kelly and company to finally really go at it. But again, they're 0-2 so far ATS, even though they're 2-0 overall in the season. What do you make of what's going on with Notre Dame in this offense all of a sudden in this low-scoring affair? And I think we both thought there would be more points.
Yeah,
so far, those points are not coming.
Yeah, I certainly did. Notre Dame about midfield at the end of the first quarter. It is 3-0 Boilermakers out early. Notre Dame minus 5.5 currently at BetMGM. 47.5 on the total. I believe Jack Cohn has gone in and out of the game. He had that thumb injury last week.
He's so a little dinged up.
He didn't
in.
Get pulled last week against Toledo, so that's why he didn't play all the reps. But right now, a tough start for Cohn, though. 2 of 6, 26 yards.
Yeah, and I think those Heisman odds that we were talking about, Jack Cohn after Florida State, that's all passed by the wayside here. So now Notre Dame, again, third week in a row, feels like early on at least, they're in for another struggle against Purdue, leading 3-0 right now at this juncture. Again, I do want to give a little shout-out to the Fighting Harbaughs. They cover easily today. That game has gone final. Michigan, an easy win as they go to 3-0. It's not so much the win. We expected that today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the manner in victory. And we thought maybe after Washington and a big-time Saturday night spot a week ago, maybe they'd be flat. They were not flat today. Can we start to tip a little bit of the cap to Harbaugh having his team ready, at least ATS so far? They're looking really good.
I think you have to. And they're running the ball, too, because McNamara has – now, eventually McNamara at quarterback is going to have to make some plays in the passing game. So you do worry about that a little bit going forward. And let's stick in the Big Ten here. About the end of the third quarter, Minnesota at Colorado, all Gophers right now, 20-0.
Ooh.
Colorado, we talked about, they had 7 yards of total offense in the first half, 23 yards here in the third quarter. So now at 30 total yards, just nothing doing, getting absolutely swallowed by PJ Flex, guys. So 20-0. That is currently near the end of the third quarter. Indiana now in the red zone at 10 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, 30-24. And then that other game that did kick off at 11 Pacific, Kansas State 14-7 midway through the second quarter over Nevada. Kansas State minus 6.5 on the in-play at BetMGM, 55.5 your total.
And again, Michigan getting those 63 points. The over-under was 54. They got it all done all by themselves.
I was tempted by the under, too, because I thought, okay, Michigan's going to run the ball.
Right.
Northern Illinois does nothing offensively, which they did, but Michigan 63 points, and that's not good if you're an underbacker.
Easy cover for the boys in maize and blue today. So, again, a little shout-out there, Jim Harbaugh. I'm seeing you 3-0 ATS so far for the Wolverines. All right, much more to get to. We've got some games getting ready to kick off of note and some games that are in progress that we're already taking note of. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line over-unders and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Dave Ross here with you alongside Wes Reynolds. And Wes, we got some drama coming down here in some of these games. Miami kicked the field goal. They're only down 7, so everything's still in play there. And how about my heart play? Virginia Tech knocking on the door in Morgantown, down 6, about a minute to go, but they face a third and goal. So we keep you updated on all those games.
That was a 27-7 lead late in the third quarter for West Virginia, and Virginia Tech absolutely knocking on the door. Timeout on the field, 101 left to go. So Virginia Tech perhaps could take their first lead of the game. We are also under review in Indiana. Indiana had first and goal. Ball was ruled down on the field, the ball carrier, but it has now been reversed. It is a fumble. That is the right call. So Cincinnati will take over. 8:28 left to go in the fourth quarter, 30-24 in Indiana.
Boy, the in-game plays for that game has been all over the map with Indiana having that early lead. Same thing in Morgantown with now Virginia Tech trying to make that and complete that comeback. We'll keep you abreast of all the things going on in those live updates and the live bets as they change. Let's talk about Florida and Alabama here a little bit as they get ready to kick off here. And again, we've seen it stay pretty consistent here with Alabama, still a two-touchdown favorite, 14 points you're laying, and that over-under really hasn't. 13.5 now at BetMGM, the over-under right there at 60. So, again, more respect being shown to the Gators.
Not a lot of late money on Alabama. It's certainly at least not enough to move the number. You would expect the tickets.
Yes.
There's always going to be bets on Alabama on Saturday. I don't care what bookmaker you talk to. But at 14 and a kind of a soft 14 here on Alabama. So, you know, clearly the Gators getting some respect. The total has been bet up to 60, 60.5. That's where it's likely going to close. And then pretty much 14 in the marketplace on Alabama. So I thought you might get some backers saying, okay, this is a buy low spot. But clearly, I think some of the wise guys kind of see this as the right price here. Groups came in at 15. Public going to bet Alabama, so it's going to be maybe not as lopsided as it normally would be against a lesser opponent. So Florida probably getting some casual better respect as well, but this is going to close two touchdowns here as we get kicked off in a couple minutes in Gainesville.
Wes, how would you advise people throughout the week when they see that number, right? If you know that your play is going to be Florida and you see 14.5 early on, right, at BetMGM, do you say, okay, I'm going to jump on it on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, or do you kind of roll the dice a little bit and hope that the money comes in on Alabama, which it did not do in this case? And now if you're a Florida backer, you're kind of stuck because you're only getting that 13.5 when you could have got an extra point just a day ago.
Well, you know, that's the hardest thing for a sports bettor to do is timing of the market. It's not just about picking winners.
Right.
There's a lot of people that can pick winners. It's like, you know, like if you're a poker player, you know the hands and what, you know, how to play a flop. But you got to know when to bet, like you got to know when to raise,
there
or you got to know when to check and slow play it. And that's kind of the thing for a sports bettor. You got to know when to time the market. A lot of these moves that you see on Sunday, when these are first put out in terms of the college football market, most of those moves are obviously professional bettors, because casual bettors are sweating parlays or sweating teasers for the NFL Sunday.
They're not even looking.
But the pros are looking at this college football market and saying, okay, I got to lay this number because I'm not going to be able to lay this number later in the week or on game day, especially, and also keep in mind with the limits. The limits on the openers, depending on the shop, well, they're obviously going to be lower than they're going to take like right now before game day. So what you could have bet on like Sunday afternoon on Alabama, Florida is going to be lower than what any book, whether it's BetMGM or Circa or South Point or any other book out there, they're going to take maximum limits on game day. So clearly not seeing a big move right now on Florida. But I think the guys that have, the groups that came in on Florida plus the points, 15.5, 15, what have you, I think are very happy with their position.
And we just talked to Ben Falks over there at Mandalay Bay. I'm sure the crowd is going crazy. Michigan State has just scored again. PAT pending, they're up 13 right now on Miami. So again, if you had Michigan State plus the 6.5 and or money line, you're absolutely loving what you're seeing down there in South Beach right now.
And by the way, West Virginia does make a goal line stand, so the Hokies are turned away. So unfortunately for the heart play, Virginia Tech actually did get the support. It was 2.5, close to pretty much market-wide, some 1.5s out there. But West Virginia does get the win, unranked favorite over ranked underdog. So West Virginia now 2-1. Country roads take us home.
Let's talk about Northwestern and Duke before they kick off here at the top of the hour. And again, you look at Pat Fitzgerald's team, and boy, they get off to a terrible start. But then now, with what we're seeing from Michigan State, right, maybe that loss week one doesn't look as bad as I know everybody back in the Chicagoland area believes it to be. So when you look at them today on the road, a small favorite at Duke, 2.5 right here at BetMGM, do you take stock in watching what Sperry's doing down there in Miami and saying, okay, maybe Northwestern, this is a good number, even though you're a road dog? Do you kind of buy into that theory of kind of the transitive property here?
Well, I played Duke early in the week at +3. Not a very strong play, obviously. Not a ton of conviction there, but Northwestern has lost a lot of personnel. Maybe Michigan State, now that you're explaining it, maybe they're better than we thought. Certainly better than I thought, being on Miami here, laying the 6 and the 6.5. Northwestern's still a very inexperienced team. They only brought back 8 combined starters, 4 on offense, 4 on defense. And, you know, kind of a clunky effort against Indiana State, certainly enough to get a win. Duke, when you look at them offensively, David Cutcliffe gave up the play calling to a younger coordinator. So they have actually been, you know, putting the ball, the defense not great, but they've actually been generating a lot more offense going forward, Duke. Gunnar Holmberg is the new quarterback. So they lose to Charlotte. Charlotte got up for Duke obviously getting an ACC opponent in your crib was a big deal. Duke had 580 yards, out-yarded Charlotte by about 100 yards, but the two turnovers, the two fumbles lost the difference in that game. Then Duke played North Carolina A&T, 433 yards for them. So Duke is averaging well over 500 yards. So they have a potent offense. Northwestern, new defensive coordinator, longtime DC, Mike Hankwitz, did retire. So not only having to lose a lot of players, but a couple different assistants. So I did take Duke plus three. Not a strong conviction. Obviously, I like the fact that I'm beating the number here because it looks like it's going to be
coming
two
in
and a half pretty much market-wide.
Again, we talked a little bit earlier in this program with Scott Seidenberg, certainly about Arkansas and Georgia Southern. You guys both like Southern in this one here. What do you make of this last look before kickoff?
Yeah, I took 23.5 here because, look, this is a really tough spot for Arkansas. And you know I loved them last week against Texas, and they absolutely lowered the boom on the Longhorns, who I thought were really overvalued. But you look at this spot, Georgia Southern is a triple option team. So when you're watching Army and Navy and Air Force, Georgia Southern's right in your wheelhouse, a triple option team. They get Justin Tomlin, the junior quarterback, back. He had a two-game academic suspension, as Scott mentioned. And look, a guy that's played 16 games at Georgia Southern as quarterback, 5.6 yards a carry, I think that's going to make a difference. Also, they may get a running back, read back, so we shall see. But just a tough spot for Arkansas. I know Georgia Southern, you know, barely beat Gardner Webb, and then FAU and Willie Taggart and Cozy Perry really carved him up 38-6. But I think getting that quarterback matters, and I think you look at Arkansas, you just beat Texas.
Right.
You're one of your old Southwest Conference rivals. Now you get another old Southwest Conference rival in Texas A&M in terms of what is going to be your SEC opener. I just think that this is a really dead spot for Arkansas. Arkansas, their strength is not their passing game, it's their running game, because in Cozy Perry absolutely torched Georgia Southern last week, the former Miami transfer, now at Florida Atlantic. Four scores, 332 yards passing, so I think Georgia Southern does enough to keep this at least somewhat respectable. Kind of a dead spot for the Razorbacks at home.
Well, you nailed it last week against Texas, and again, that's probably the reason, again, you look at their SEC schedule coming up, they've got bigger fish to fry here, so there probably could be a sleepwalk scenario here for the Razorbacks in victory, but we assume that Georgia Southern is going to be able to at least keep this a little bit close to the vest. So still expect Arkansas to win, but it could be a flat spot, as you say. Very quickly, we do want to update. Notre Dame is on the board. They've taken that lead now over Purdue. So again, pre-flop, it was giving 7.5. Right now, they got a 4-point lead in the second quarter.
Yeah, and it was, I believe, Jack Cohn to Williams from 39 yards out. So now 7-3. The Irish lead the Boilermakers. Irish back to 7.5-point favorites, what they were pre-flop.
There it is.
Now 46.5, the in-game total.
Okay, and we'll see if your alma mater can make a stand here. Down 6 as we get tighter and tighter against Cincinnati in a really showcase game here for the Bearcats, if they can hold on. Because again, Wes, when you look at their schedule, and you mentioned if they can beat Indiana and if they can beat Notre Dame, then Cincinnati throws their hat in the ring to say, hey, don't forget about us come college football playoff time.
Yeah, a big game and obviously a big drive for Indiana. They'll have it 4:27 left to go on their own 36. Michael Penix, a couple turnovers today, but this has been back and forth really the entire second half, so we'll see if Indiana can make do. Cincinnati, by the way, did close 4-point favorites at BetMGM.
Okay, and again, right now the live odds, they are -5.5, up by 6. Let's see if they can get a stop, or if IU...
Another turnover, by the way, for Miami. This is just about over 4 minutes left to go. Michigan State about to go to 3-0. Dead wrong side if you were on the Canes like me. Four turnovers now for Miami.
We see you, Sparty, doing good work. We're going to have Ben Fox joining us with Mike Ferrario right over there at Mandalay Bay. When you come back with us right here, it is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using the code VSiN100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on any college football game and either team simply scores a touchdown. No matter what your gridiron game is, BetMGM is always ready for all the action. Enjoy parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the code VISA100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any college football game and either team simply scores a touchdown. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Dave Ross here, back with you here, Betting Across America. Going to go back out to Ben Falks, who's out there at Mandalay Bay. And Ben, I know a lot of backers there had Michigan State, but I think you also had some plays on the under. Sparty has just scored again. That total has gone over 38-17. I know you have a very special guest out there with you as well. So I wonder what the vibe is like now after we spoke about 30 minutes ago.
Thanks, Dave. Out here at Mandalay Bay with Mike Piranio, the sportsbook director. I got to say, he's the best-dressed man in the sportsbook. He's putting me to shame here. Mike, a great atmosphere as usual. I was surprised so many Iowa State fans. I guess that's the UNLV game later today, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. We seem to be the hub for everything. Raider games, college games, anything that's over at the stadium. Wednesday we've got soccer. We fill up with those fans, and I'm from Nebraska, so I love Iowa State fans being here. It's fantastic. They're getting ready to go over to the game, of course,
yep.
So it'll be interesting. Same thing with Monday night. It was the same thing. And by the way, Monday night, you guys have probably discussed it on the network, but single biggest one-game loss in the history of Vegas, including Super Bowls, and we've got seven more of those to go. So let's hope we break even on those. Maybe the Raiders win, so we're all happy, and then they don't cover, maybe.
Right.
So
it was definitely surprising the amount of people on the Raiders.
It's amazing.
I was saying it seemed like there were a couple sad Nebraska fans. I don't think Nebraska covers, but didn't win that game.
Yeah, I mean, that was close. I was talking to one of my employees about it, and I go, doesn't bode well for Oklahoma only winning by seven.
Exactly.
Sorry, Nebraska.
Well, let's get to a couple of the other games here. Obviously, a big day in terms of handle. We're a couple of the games, certainly. I know Michigan State here looks like they're up 38-17 in the fourth. Probably going to take that home. Was that one of the most bet sides, the biggest bet games for you guys?
A little bit. Biggest ones were Alabama. Mm-hmm. We need Florida, obviously. All of these will need the opposite. Nevada, strangely, maybe that's the hometown field. Everyone thinks to bet the home state anyway. And then Colorado is bet big, so we need Minnesota on that game. It's kind of a interesting mix.
Interesting. So, and we've certainly seen Minnesota take over there with a 20-0 lead, I believe. So,
yeah,
so far so good there.
It's interesting, yes.
Let's get a little bit on more to some other college here, specifically any sides that have gotten action. We've got a couple of the bigger games, but any sides. I'd imagine the Alabama-Florida game is going to be one of the bigger ones, and I guess you guys are going to need Florida +14, +14.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good for us when dogs hit. I'll tell you right now, the biggest moves we had were weird, strange games. Eastern Michigan moved like 4 points, so obviously we need UMass in that. And Louisiana Tech moved a decent amount, also over 2.5 points. And Stanford and Vandy moved from 11 to 13. So we're going to obviously need SMU and Vandy on those two. It's weird, strange games where the money's moving, but that could be smart money. I'm not saying.
So it's always those UMass games.
Yeah, you know? UMass.
Big betting markets
there. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's definitely strange to have those as big bets.
Got it. So we obviously like to cover all the sides here. Totals are also very important, and again, in the NFL, I think there's probably a little more focus, fewer games, but in college, any ones this week that stood out in terms of some movement on the totals?
Mostly. There's some movement. UCLA went from 60 to 63, so it went up quite a bit. Obviously, we're going to need against these line movements. Very rarely you're going to see us move a line and we don't need the other side.
Right.
It could happen, but I'd like to know when that happens. But Eastern Michigan moved 2 points down in that game to 56.5, and Alabama, the big game for them this week, it moved up to 60.5, which is typical for Alabama. If they're betting Alabama, they'll bet the total too. So
right.
Not sure if that means too much as far as totals go. And totals handles are definitely smaller. They get moved way sooner. Mm-hmm. Our limits are way smaller, so we have a chance to move those totals. And it's just interesting. Totals are picking up more than in previous years. 10 years ago, no one bet totals. This gets nationwide and BetMGM Group does a good job of putting all these games out with totals, you'll see a lot of action. The one thing you do get restricted on with totals is any big lines with over-unders, we're not letting you parlay a minus 22 and the over. Those are correlation parlays, and very few places allow you to do that.
Yep.
Although people try all the time.
Of course. So then I guess, would it be fair to say that your day is kind of going to be made by that Alabama game? Is that one of the bigger games?
That's definitely because of the total and the side. Yep. That's going to be a big decision for us. And, you know, who knows if it's like the Raider game, we might get so much action on this Iowa State UNLV game that that could end up being a huge game for us.
Right.
But seems like we're getting pretty even action. I don't think Iowa State people want to lay that big number either. So it's interesting to see that.
They're going to lay the number of drinks first, and then they'll get to the game after that.
Right, they'll bet on BetMGM at the game, see how it goes.
Right.
In-game wagering is what it's all about now, especially with the stadium here. And that's why BetMGM putting these apps all over the country has been so beneficial to players and to us. It just gets more exposure, and people get used to doing it, and next thing you know, it's a big handle.
Yep. No longer have to fly out to Vegas to place your Super Bowl bet or college football playoff bet. You have a lot more options.
I'd like to put a bet over-under what year it'll be totally legal nationwide, but we'll see.
That one, I think, is going to take a while.
Yeah, that might
take a
while.
There's going to be some states that may not come in there.
Seems to be that way, yeah.
Let's go to the pros. Obviously, Thursday night football, all of those standalone games, always big. And a game that turned into a really good one between the Giants and the Washington football team. Yeah. I think everyone was kind of expecting a NFC East, you know, lower scoring game. A lot of people liking the under. How was this for you guys at the book?
It was a good for us. For some reason, that game kept going back and forth on who we needed and who we didn't need. It wasn't a huge decision for us, but it was a good win for the book. And on a single game night compared to Monday night, we'll take any little win, even if it's small, on a Thursday night NFL game. We need some recovery from Monday night. But that's the interesting thing. Sunday, you know, we're going to need some games on Sunday. And the ones we're going to need are the Dolphins, of course, a dog, plus 3.5. The Eagles, everyone's betting the 49ers, and then the Ravens, Kansas City is a team that everyone wants to bet, and after the Ravens' performance on Monday, I can see people not being high on them, even though they're probably getting some running backs somewhere this week.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson can be their running back. That's their solution, I think. So.
It seems
as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Right, and obviously, like you said, coming off that tough loss out here, flying back across the country, I know at some books there's 30-1 ticket count on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
This game obviously opened, I think, Chiefs 2.5, 3 places.
Yeah.
It's at 3.5, 4. Are you guys at 4? And is that most likely going to be your biggest liability come Sunday?
It will be our biggest liability come Sunday. Unless, you know, we take some big bets at BetMGM. So there's any time someone can come in and bet a 7-figure bet, and that changes everything.
Right.
But other than that, it is. Chiefs have way more tickets written than any other team so far this week, but we still got a lot of time to go. I don't see that changing, though. Everyone's on the Chiefs pretty good on that.
That certainly seems like the public side this week.
Yeah.
We always like to know the respected money, the sharp money. So far in the NFL this week, anything that has come in that you've noticed as respected money, potentially moving the lines there a couple
of
games?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to name names, but
of course.
there's some money in there.
There's nobody listening, Mike.
No, yeah, they are. Yeah. We'll see what happens to these lines. Patriots is a wise guy move over the Jets. The Seahawks, we're getting wise guy money on. And the Chargers versus America's team. Which of those teams are America's team? I'm sorry.
The
Chargers,
Cowboys.
They keep moving. They're going to be America's team just by moving so often.
America's team doesn't have a defense,
no,
though.
That's
so
true.
It's understandable.
Yeah,
why.
So those are the teams we need then. And, you know, most of the time we're going to need dogs, but there's some good movements on that. The ticket count is what you really want to pay attention to. Maybe wise guy money. But if you see a line move and you don't know why, be careful. Ticket counts are like gold if you want to know what to do and what not to do, in my opinion.
Yep. I think that's very sage advice. We got a couple seconds left here. Any totals in the NFL? Any movement there?
Not much on the totals. We had the Packers moved a little bit down and the Saints moved down. Everything's moving down except that Eagles and Seahawks game. Seahawks is a popular team. The total's moving up. But Totals, like, again, it'll move just because on less money, so it's hard to tell if it's really good, smart money.
Right.
It's just tough to tell, and it's better to be here and know what's going on.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Mike. We appreciate it. From Mandalay Bay, the best-dressed guy. And we'll be back with more on VSiN.